Chapter 6 Lily once joked to Jessie that she'd gotten to the big house on the water the old-fashioned way. She'd married her way to it. Jessie thought it had to be more about the money than love, because nothing else made sense. Whit Kane, before his stroke, had looked and acted like every rich asshole the country had produced over the last 100 years, as guys like him kept getting richer, as if somehow assholes like him had become our most predominant natural resource. Jessie had always heard he cheated on Lily, and copiously, at least when he could still get around. Jessie had never spent enough time in their social orbit to know for sure. What he did know was that Whit Kane, before the stroke, had been spending most of his time at his home in Palm Beach, as if he and Lily were leading separate lives. Lily told Jessie once she'd rather spend more time with her gynecologist than more in Palm Beach. The Kane compound was at the end of Paradise Neck, the harbor to the left and Stiles Island in the distance to the right. The Atlantic Ocean stretched out in front of them, like it was just one more thing in Paradise Mass that belonged to the Kanes. A carriage house built in the 1930s. The place had grown and grown, like the family fortune. Sometimes Jessie thought that whomever said money didn't grow on trees was full of shit. The legend around Paradise was that Whit Kane's father had started out in the bootlegging business with Joseph Kennedy, even though the Kennedys denied to this day that their old man had ever been involved in anything illegal, same as the Kanes did. Old man Kane had moved north from Boston as the Kennedys had gone south to Hyannisport, apparently on a mission to buy up every inch of oceanfront property from Gloucester to Salisbury, and more than a little real estate in downtown Boston, and everybody knew better than to get in his way. By the time World War II ended, Kane Enterprises owned the First National Bank of Paradise, the biggest construction business in town, and a real estate company that built houses that cost a vulgar amount of money on property that cost even more. They had even started a boat-building company, for which Michael Crane, Molly's husband, had once worked. And didn't miss a beat when the old man died. In fact, the rumor about his son, Whit, was that he was more of a ruthless ball-buster than his father had ever been. What Whit Kane couldn't buy, he found a way to steal. There were still local legends about rivals whom he eventually rolled, or who simply left the area and never came back. Now, Whit was the old man, in an upstairs bedroom facing the water, the family fortune of little use to him. Whit, and Lily's only child, son Bryce, was overseeing the family's business interests, even though the feeling around town was that once Whit Kane had passed, Bryce wanted to cash out and move to Palm Beach himself, and for good. Jessie had gone home and changed before driving over the causeway to Paradise Neck. He wore a blazer and pressed gray pants and loafers that were as close as he had to dress shoes. There was something about Lily Kane that always made him want to look his best. In another time, you would have been allowed to call Lily Kane a great broad. In private, Jessie knew she could swear like a champion. He'd told her once that she was where sailors went to learn all the ways to use the word fuck. He'd never had the nerve to ask if the pale area on her left forearm had once been a tattoo. Lily answered the front door herself, even though Jessie knew how much help there was on the premises at all times. "Chief Stone," she said, leaning forward and presenting a cheek for a kiss. "Business or pleasure?" "Business, Lily," he said, "but always a pleasure seeing you." She was almost as tall as Jessie was. Her hair was some sort of beauty parlor mix of blonde and silver, worn long. Her eyes were as blue as the sky above the water. Jessie just assumed that for her skin to look as flawless as it did, Lily'd had work done. But if she had, it was damned fine work. She still had a good figure, too. She must have been something to look at when she was young, Jessie thought, simply because she was still something to look at now. There was always a hint of mischief in her eyes, or trouble. Jesse guessed she was around 70. But despite the almost regal way she carried herself, Jesse had always thought she gave off a bad girl vibe, as if she'd been hell on wheels once and could prove it. Molly Crane liked to say that she herself was a good girl until she turned. "Don't be so formal, Lily," Jesse said, winking at her. "You can just call me Chief." She laughed a full, throaty laugh and showed him in. He had been in the big front foyer a few times before, the room looking as if it wanted to open up all the way through the screened-in porch to the water's edge, and then perhaps to Portugal. F. Scott Fitzgerald had it right, Jesse thought. The very rich were different from you and me. It started with the views.
"Bryce and I are just finishing lunch," Lily said, leading Jesse toward the terrace. Bryce Kane was at the table, staring at his phone.
"Chief," he said, looking up finally. "Bryce." They didn't shake hands. Bryce was still staring at his phone, as if waiting for a text message that might slow down climate change. Lily took her seat. Jesse sat next to her. Lily asked if he wanted something to eat. He said he was fine. She asked if he wanted coffee. He said if he had any more today, he'd want to run down to the water and swim to Stiles Island and back.
"Wasn't last night lovely?" Lily said.
She'd still not asked about the reason for Jesse's visit.
"It was," Jesse said. "Nothing paradise likes more than celebrating itself."
"Jesse Stone," she said, admonishing him. "You know rebuilding that theater was a good thing for our town."
"Was and is," he said. "It doesn't happen without you."
"I had plenty of help," she said.
"Takes a village," he said.
"And a whole lot of fucking arm twisting," she said.
"Think we could have gotten along without fucking there, Mom," Bryce said, putting down his phone, almost as a last resort.
"But what would the fucking fun be in that?" she said. Bryce Kane was almost as pretty as his mother, maybe an inch taller, same skinny pipe cleaner frame, same blue eyes. He wore his own blonde hair, starting to go gray, way too long for somebody his age, as if he wanted to look like Brad Pitt. His face looked pretty damn smooth, too. Maybe he and Mom shared the same nip-tuck guy.
"You look official today, Chief," Bryce said. "I think of the look as firm and resolute," Jesse said.
"Or just ruggedly handsome," Lily said. Dev had taken a picture of Paul with his phone and asked an old friend with the state police to do an artist's rendering, which Dev had delivered to Jesse himself. They both agreed it was very good. Jesse took the drawing out of its manila folder and handed it to Lily. "This man was found dead at the lake early this morning," Jesse said. "Lily, he took a cab over to Paradise from Marshport last night. The driver said he dropped him here." Lily looked at the drawing, then back at Jesse.
"I'm sure he did," Lily said. "But just getting to the gate doesn't get you in. When Whit and Karina, his nurse, are alone in the house at night, she deactivates the phone down there when she goes to bed. To get in, you need her phone number or mine, or you're out of luck."
"Did the nurse mention a visitor before she went to bed?"
"She did not," Lily said.
"But she would mention it?"
"She thinks of herself as more than Whit's nurse," Lily said. "She sees herself as a gatekeeper. If somebody wanted to get inside the gate last night, she would certainly have told me."
Lily's reading glasses were on the table in front of her. She put them back on and took another look at the drawing before handing it to her son.
"Is this an accurate rendering?" she said.
"It is," he said. "I didn't want to bring a photograph from the morgue."
"Do you know who this poor man is?" she said.
"Only have a first name," Jesse said. "Paul. I met him at an AA meeting in Marshport last night." No point in holding back on that. Jesse assumed by now that if there was life on Mars, even they knew about his drinking problem.
and he knew that Lily had been one of the people fighting for him to keep his job when he was in rehab.
"And you think he came here?" Lily said.
"Don't think," Jesse said. "Cab driver said he dropped him."
"Then how'd he get to the lake?" Bryce said. "Pretty long walk."
"Maybe the killer drove him," Jesse said.
"You're saying the killer picked him up here after the taxi let him off?" Bryce said. "How does that make any sense?"
"You don't have a security camera at the front gate?" Bryce Kane shook his head as if the subject frustrated him.
"Mom says it's not Buckingham Palace," Bryce said, "and she's not the queen."
Jesse grinned at Lily.
"Beg to differ."
"You say you met this guy, but have no idea who he is?" Bryce said.
Jesse said, "No identification on him. I was hoping he'd paid the driver with a credit card, but he paid with cash."
"Maybe the guy was drunk and ended up getting robbed and killed," Bryce said. "Who the hell knows?"
Bryce lifted his shoulders and let them drop.
"But a drunk getting killed is hardly the crime of the century."
"X," Jesse said.
"Excuse me?"
Bryce said.
"X drunk," Jesse said.
"Or recovering, take your pick. Unless the toxicology shows different. I just know he was still sober around 7 o'clock last night when I left him."
"Maybe the night was young and he couldn't stop himself from getting hammered," Bryce said.
"But you'd know better than me," he smiled.
"No offense, of course."
"Of course."
"How did he die, if you don't mind me asking?" Bryce said.
"Shot," Jesse said.
"In our town," Lily said.
"Happens in the best neighborhoods," Jesse said.
"I wish I could help you more, Jesse," she said. "But I have no idea who this man is or what business he could possibly have had with us."
"Had to ask," Jesse said.
"Well, just make sure you keep my mother out of the media," Bryce said. "You know how much the fake news people would love to have the Canes in a story like this."
"Not to make too fine a point of it," Jesse said, "but what part of the story would be fake?"
Jesse and Bryce Kane had never spent much time together, but it had been more than enough for them to know they didn't like each other. It seemed to bother Bryce that his mom liked Jesse as much as she did, and that she had fought for Jesse while he was in rehab. Jesse's reasons for disliking her son were far simpler. He just thought Bryce was a raging, entitled, rich boy ass-clown.
"Sometimes, Chief," Bryce said, stepping hard on the last word, "I think you occasionally forget that you work for us and not the other way round."
"Bryce," Lily said, some snap in her voice, "please, cut the shit."
Jesse felt himself smiling.
"Lily Kane, ladies and gentlemen."
"Sorry," Bryce said. "Not looking to tangle with you, Jesse."
Just like that, he was Jesse.
"Dad's upstairs dying," Bryce said. "We don't need any extra noise."
Jesse saw Lily Kane smile.
"At this point, Bryce," she said, "extra noise is likely the least of his concerns."
She turned back to Jesse.
"You have my number," she said. "Send the picture to my phone. I'll ask Karina if she saw or heard anything unusual before bed."
"He was dropped here a few minutes after 9, Jesse said. "So you weren't back yet?"
"There was a big reception at Town Hall," she said, "which I noticed you managed to avoid."
"You bet."
"I probably left a little after that. Took one last look at my marquee and then went home to bed."
"Thank you," Jesse said. She smiled again.
"I know you, Jesse Stone," she said. "You're going to be like a dog with a bone with this."
"Everybody has to be good at something," he said.
"Well, just leave us out of it," Bryce said, reaching for his own phone, pushing his chair back, walking away from them toward the water.
Jesse and Lily watched him go. Neither spoke until Lily sighed and said, "The pull of heredity."
"Ain't it grand?" Jesse said.